1:15 through Ephesians 2:10. And so, a very powerful book to the church of Ephesus from Paul, and has a lot of life and a lot of hope in this message. So we could use some good news. So let's go with this one, okay? Reading in Jesus' name, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, that are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rulers and authority and powers and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills all in all. And you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has risen us up and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that on the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace ye have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of your works, so that no man may boast. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we have a lot of prayers today, but yet we thank and praise you because it is our communication. It is our ability to speak to you. Today, Father, we ask that you would be with everyone here, that you would calm our hearts, that you would give us assurance, that you would strengthen us through your word today. We ask that you would be with those that are going through difficulty, and we even think about this young man that felt the need to break into the church. Father, I wish more would have that desire to be in church, but Father, for better purposes, we pray that you would just be with him and encourage him and allow this to be a change in his life. Allow us to show compassion and forgiveness, encouragement. Father, there's many more like this, and we ask that you would continue to be with them and that we would continue to remember to pray for those that are hurting in such a way. Father, we ask that you also would be with our law enforcement as they've been taking so much heat in the last year. Father, we know that there is trouble on all sides. We know that not everyone is perfect, but Father, it does not describe everybody as a whole. And we thank and we praise you for that. We know that there are some pretty naughty Christians, as we could say, but it does not define the Christian group. Father, we know that there's naughty cops, but it doesn't define the whole group. We ask that we would show them the reverence and respect, and that they would also do the same. Father, we ask that you be with us as we look at your word. Allow it to be a light to our path. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So anyway, Ephesians opens in a very, very powerful way. And he brings in this understanding. Paul is trying to encourage them that God sees you. God knows you. And he has a path for you. And that's something that we even can consider with our confirmands coming up. We can also consider that with our graduates now. That God sees and knows exactly where we are. And if we would but ask him, listen to him, he would give us direction. Doesn't mean that we don't step out in faith and actually try something. See, I think that's one of the mistakes that we can do as human beings. We can sit there and say, well, I'm waiting for God to push me. I think sometimes we need to move forward. And when we move forward, we have to allow God to move us. You know? But anyways, point being is he's trying to encourage them that God has a plan of salvation for all of us. This book actually gets very, very used by more, I would say, the Calvinist side. They'll use this for dual predestination. In other words, God has destined some for heaven and some for hell, and I don't believe in that at all. As a Lutheran pastor, I don't believe that. I'm not going to debate that. My God is not the author of evil. And what this talks about in the beginning, if you actually stop and you read it, don't do it right now because I'm trying to talk to you. But maybe when you're home or something, you could read the beginning of this, and it talks about predestination. I do believe there is a path of predestination. I don't believe in dual predestination. God has destined a path of salvation for each and every one of us. And his name is Jesus the Christ. That's really what he's saying here. God knows you. God desires you. And he wants you to come on that path, if we could say it that way. And so he has done this. And then he ends, before our text picks up, he ends with such a beautiful thing. He talks about he loves you so much and he has made this path of salvation for you so clearly that he's given you a gift. He gave you a down payment. And it's called the Holy Spirit. He says that just previous to our text. That now he has given a path of salvation, and by grace through faith, you are receiving this will of God, and now he actually gives you an investment. He invests in you. He gives you his Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not wandering generalities here. None of us are. By this faith that God has given us, he allows us to live in, we actually have a down payment of our salvation. It is called the Holy Spirit. Read it. Even take a second now if you want, if you got your Bible open to the text. Look one verse up. He says he gives it to you. Okay, back to me. No, it's not all about me. It's about his word. But anyways, he says now that he's given you this down payment, this is where this "for this reason" comes in. For this reason, because I have heard, this is so beautiful. Paul is saying, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's evident, he says, it's evident by the love that you have for the saints. For the saints. Oh man, what have we done with this word saints, hey? We've kind of messed her up a little bit. We think that this is like something that we can work towards, or we can, you know, produce enough good works, and then we can maybe, you know, become put in, be made into a saint of some sort, and now people will seek for our good works or whatever. We've done a lot of goofy things with this. Let's forget about that for a minute. We are saints in Christ Jesus. We are sanctified by this grace, through this faith, by the giving of the down payment. He says, you actually are set apart for the purpose of God. That's what a saint is. Set apart for a purpose. Not just Buppy up here. Not just the pastor. From the youngest to the eldest, to all who trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you have a great purpose. That to me is amazing, because I don't know if we utilize this enough, that we have a great purpose. He says, I've heard about the faith that God has given you, and I hear that it comes out in this way, that you love all of these individuals. Mark prayed today, and he did very well, praying for this congregation and a thankfulness for this congregation. I'm very thankful for this congregation. I may not always show it, and I apologize. I am human as anybody else. Some days somebody licked all the frosting off my cupcakes. Very nice cupcakes, by the way. Beautiful. But the fact of it is, this is a beautiful congregation. And if people don't tell you that enough, then I'm sorry. But there's beautiful people throughout this world. to understand and know that we can have a love. And I feel love from this congregation, and I pray this congregation feels love from me and from my wife. And if you don't, let me talk to her. She's not here today. They had a beautiful weekend. My son got engaged, Rachel and Matthias, and they went shopping for dresses. And for all you ladies, she said yes to the dress. So my wife was extremely happy. But seriously, there is a love here. And that's what I think is so genuine. And so this is what he's saying. I feel the genuineness. Is that a word, genuineness? But anyways, how genuine you are. He says that you have a love towards all the saints. And he says, so I don't ever cease praying for you. That we would remember to pray and continually pray for one another. But the beautiful part of this is, even our sighs go before the Heavenly Father as a prayer. We may not know what to pray for people. We may not understand what's going on in their life. But God, he allows even those sighs to come before him as a prayer. It says once again that even the Spirit makes intercession for us when we don't know what to pray for. He does this part. He says, so I never stop giving thanks for you and remembering you in prayer. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all glory, the one who's created everything, him who has created everything out of nothing can do these marvelous things, even as we teach our confirmants. He says, may give you the spirit of wisdom so that you would have this understanding of who you are in Christ. He would give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of whom? Of Christ Jesus. That this would be encouraging in your life. That you would know who you are, who has redeemed you, and by that power, how you live. He says, and I desire that your eyes would be open. I'm adding that word, open. And your hearts would be enlightened. That you would have a joy. That we would have this joy as believers in Jesus Christ. Do we have that joy? Are we thankful for this day? I mean, we get excited when the sun's out, right? But you are redeemed in the blood of Christ. You are made perfect and holy. No matter what this world may say to you. By the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are a child of a king. He says, I want your eyes opened, your heart enlightened. He says that you may know what is the hope that he has called in you. He says what his riches are, how deep they go. He says because really he has a beautiful inheritance for you, a beautiful inheritance. You know, and even Mark had spoken about that when we mourn for the Kangas family. But there is an eternal inheritance that we just rejoice in, that death has no more power, it has no more sting. And he says, and we would get to this point of understanding his immeasurable greatness. That's what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. And it's immeasurable. That's what the Gospel of John opens up with. It says very plainly in Gospel of John chapter 1 that he gave grace upon grace. Grace. Do you know what that means? Immeasurable. Man, if anybody's taking a risk with grace, it was God. And he's got it. Don't worry about it. Immeasurable. He says, so we know his immeasurable greatness and a power towards us who believe. It is all in the aspect of this faith. It's not a work. It's not something I can do on my own. It is by faith. He says, according to the working of his great might, and that he worked in Christ Jesus, and he raised him from the dead, and he seated him at the right hand of God the Father. God did this work. You know why? Because he's your advocate. You're not here alone. He's your advocate. How many things does our own conscience bring against us? How many things will this world bring against us? But yet Christ Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he comes there to stand as an advocate for you and I. That he has paid the price. We live with so much guilt. We live with so much baggage. And really, it's time to let go of that baggage and trust this word that God has done this work by his immeasurable grace, by his immeasurable greatness, that he has given us an advocate. He says, and this advocate, he's above every power that you can consider upon this earth. That's really what he says. We think we're so judged by governments, by church groups or denominations and things like that. But this blows that out of the water. He, in reality, has been given us victory over all of these things, that there is his name and his power and his authority above all powers and dominions upon this earth, even every name that is named. He says, not just in this time that you're living in, but even for the future to come. He says, he's put everything under his feet because Jesus Christ has been given authority over everything. And he's made him head of all things, which is the church. And he even goes into more description here, this body, the church body, he says, he gives him all this power. The fullness of him who fulfills all. Everything in Christ Jesus is complete. We need nothing else. See, and that's where sometimes we forget. Maybe you don't. Awesome. I do. I am complete and I am perfected through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm not complete and perfected by a Lutheran title. I am not complete and perfected by coming through these particular doors. My salvation is founded and finished and built upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And he has given me this by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. In fact, he wants us to know it so well. He says, I've given you a still small voice inside that you would know. I have given you a part of myself, my Holy Spirit. Maybe we don't know we have the Holy Spirit. Well, the Acts of the Apostles says very plainly, then pray for it. Pray that you would receive more. Really what he's saying is talk to God. Ask him to fill you. Oh, that's so Pentecostal. Aho, you're going cuckoo on me. Well, then take it out of the Bible. When is it ever wrong to ask God to fulfill what he has promised for his honor and his glory? He says, you know what? Do you know where you were? You were dead. You were dead. I did 2 burials this weekend. Nobody popped up out of the ground. Nobody talked to me and gave me their opinion. In fact, both cemeteries were full. I remember driving down the road one time with Earl Carlin, and he looked at me and he says, we were driving by a cemetery, how many people in there are dead? I'm like, I don't know, a couple hundred? He said, all of them. Not trying to be disrespectful, but dead people don't do anything. They can't do anything to help themselves. We were paralyzed. We were dead in sins and trespasses. There was nothing that I could do to fix this problem. And God knew that. But our gracious God did not want to leave us in that state. So he did a great work. He gave of himself. He says, you are dead in trespasses and sins. What can we do when we're in that state? He says, in reality, you walked according to the course of this world. You weren't following the Father. You walked according to the course. He says, once walked. He's speaking to those in faith. He says, following the course of this world. He says, you are actually following whatever went on. Whatever was in the air, the prince of the power of the air that day. Whatever was popular. That's what you were up to. And he says, and this same spirit works in those of disobedience. Those who choose not to believe. Those that have no desire to know truth. He says, this is what's still going on. He says, and among whom we all once lived. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. See, this is where the Christian gets in a little trouble, and I'm just as guilty. Well, I got this figured out now. I'm good to go. You know, boy, I wish they could get their act together. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget. It's not about whose boy you are, whose girl you are. Do you know you were dead and lost in your own inability? And God loved you. He came for you. And through the preaching of his word, through the understanding of his word, through the reading of his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he has opened himself to you. And by grace through faith, you have received this gift. In receiving this gift, he gives you a down payment of your salvation by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only difference between you and one destined to hell is Christ Jesus and him alone. It's not by your ability. It's not by what I can perform. And this is what Paul is trying to encourage us in Ephesus. Don't think that you're so lost nobody can save you. But also, don't think that you're so awesome that nobody else can receive what you've gotten. Don't forget where you've come from. I think that's what happens to us when we, in our earthly life, become more affluent. We start gaining wealth and power and we say, man alive, we'll remember everybody. No, we get to this point sometimes, and I can't judge everybody, so I'm going to say, I would have this problem. I worked for it. I've earned it. They should too. What about in Christianity? What have I done? They say years ago in a pastor's meeting, they asked my great-grandfather, you know, they were talking in the room about all these things they've done for the Lord. You know, I've done this. We've done this mission work. We've gone on these trips. We've done all that. And they said, oh, Maddie, what did you do? What did you do for the Lord? And Maddie looked out there at them and he said, I crucified him. That's the reality. Any good gifts we have are not of ourselves. They are of God and they are his blessings. Left to my own devices, I would cry for Barabbas every time. It's sad when I forget that. It is by his gift. He says, we used to all once be this way. We all had the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of our own body and mind. And these things still creep in, don't they? If we were to be honest, we can't be honest in front of everybody, but I'll be honest with you, they creep in. So many times it's like you're pleading with the Lord, help me, help me. And you know what he says? I will. He's going to get to that. I will. He said, we used to live in all this problems. We used to go through these emotions. He says, we were the children of wrath. He says, we're like the rest of mankind, no different. But then, they say there's no buts in life, right? But there is here. But God. We were lost. We had no hope outside of ourselves or within ourselves. But God, God came and changed this whole program. Do you understand? Do you know that God loves you so much? He didn't desire for us to be in this path anymore. It says, but God, being rich in this mercy, because of the great love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we can hear one thing today, hear this. With this great love, God loves you. He loves you. The world may not say that to you. They may tell you to do something or do this or take this or get this or do something else and then you're acceptable. That's not our God. He loves you. He loves you right where you are. And by knowing this, by receiving this love, is where you will change. Well, we can understand that. We can accept that. Well, it's for everybody else, too. God loves them. And he desires for them to know so that they could change. Another part of the gospel says, how beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. Not just about Buppy again. We all carry the gospel because he's given us a down payment by grace through faith of his salvation. That we could enter into a world not with judgment, but with love and encourage people. But God, with his rich mercy, with the love that he loved us, even when we were paralyzed in our own death, in our own sin, he says, he made us alive. He gave us life. He breathed once again into the human race life. He made us live again. Together, but not alone this time. Because we'd screw it up if we were to do it alone. In Christ. He made us live together in Christ. He says, by grace, you have been saved.
He doesn't add the faith part here, because it's not a working that I can do. God desired for restoration for you and for everyone. And so he says he gave unmerited favor. Do you know what that means? See, we throw these words around. Ah, grace, grace, grace. Unmerited favor. I did nothing for it. It's hard for the world to hear. I think it's hard for the Christian to hear. Because there's something that Jesse would like to cling to. But left to my own self, I'm undone. He says, very plainly, by grace you have been saved. He says, and when you have been saved, you've been raised up. In other words, given life again, that you can truly live this life. He says, you've been raised up with him in Christ. Okay? He says, and where are you? You're seated in heavenly places. Do you know at this moment you are sitting before the God the Father? When you leave here, you are seated before God the Father, wherever you may go, that you are always in his presence by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why I always giggle, and I'm not picking, but it's kind of funny how many times when I come around, people will say something off color, and, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you're a pastor. Well, God's listening all the time. In fact, there's things I got to repent for. I'm far from perfect. Trust me. But what this says is we're always in the presence of God the Father. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. And so he says, you're seated in these heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So he says, really, in the ages to come, in the time that you're coming to live in, he says, you can see his immeasurable. Now, where do we measure this? Where do we limit this? Your immeasurable, his immeasurable richness, riches of his grace. He says, in kindness, out of the goodness of his heart, I want to say, in kindness towards us. Why? In Christ Jesus. See, I'm acceptable to God the Father, and I stand perfect in front of God the Father. It's hard for you to hear, isn't it? Some of you know me personally, and you know that I'm a goof. But I don't do it on my own. I stand, if I could say, with that filter of Christ before me. And God does not see my impurities. See, God loves us. And he wants us to become all the better. Sure, that's a good statement, right? But we can't do it alone. It is in and through Jesus Christ. By the power of his Holy Spirit, by the power of his word, we have an impact in this world. There's a lot of garbage going on. We know that. We don't have to look far. And we can find ourselves getting bogged down in that garbage or that swill of this earth. But we don't have to. We can live above the circumstances in and through Christ Jesus. He says, God sees us and he gives us his immeasurable riches towards us in Christ Jesus. And then he comes to the main point once again. He says, for by grace you have been saved. And it's received through faith. God has given you this. And maybe you struggle with it today. Maybe you're too busy looking at your own life. You're looking at your own blunders. You're looking at your brother's blunders or your cousins or your neighbors or maybe some politician and you're just like, ah. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God loves you. He desires for restoration for you personally. And he loves you so much, he gave himself for you. And he paid your debt. Believe on this. Your sins are forgiven. They are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we are free. Believe. I pray that God will open that to you so that you will be encouraged that this world cannot hold you in judgment. Governors, presidents, congressmen, senators, they cannot hold you in judgment. Our physical brothers and sisters' bloodlines cannot hold us in judgment. Our neighbors cannot hold us in judgment. We are God's children by grace through faith. Now live it. Live in this freedom. And love those that are around you so that they may know who God is. Just amazing how God's work goes that way. He says very plainly, he shows us immeasurable great riches and the kindness of greatness. He says, and really, he says, because you are saved by grace through faith. And he says, and it is not of your own doing. How come we don't preach this all the time? There's got to be something I can do. It's not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. I've used this example 150 times, but it never gets old. You know, you invite me down to a wedding shower, and you're all excited because your niece, your grandniece, your cousin, your sister, you get the point. They're getting married. And man alive, I go down there, and I get this nice, you know, pots and pans set that's probably $150, $300. I don't know what they cost, right? And you're all excited. You get the biggest gift. You give it to the lady. Oh, my gosh, I hardly know you, and I'm so excited. But then she opens it up, and there's a bill in there. Or how about this? You give me a gift. And you've put a lot of heart and you put a lot of thought into what I would desire to have. And you're like, Jesse could really use this. And then you come here and you worked hard for it and you're so thankful to be able to give it to me. And I'm like, I cannot accept this unless you let me write you a check. And I pull out my checkbook. Where is the grace in that? See, God knew there was nothing that we could offer. And there's nothing we can do to repay. But there's a lot we can do to show thankfulness. Being here today is showing thankfulness. Raising your children in a church is showing thankfulness. Coming here as a family is showing thankfulness. Receiving anybody that walks through those doors, no matter what they may have baggage with them, and receiving them in love is showing thankfulness. It's not a boast of works. It's not something that we can perform. He says, when we act in these ways, in showing the love of Christ, he says, we're really bringing out the last verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what purpose? To show thankfulness. For good works. We don't do good works to become a Christian. That's crap. Yeah, I said it. That's what it is. And that's a nice word compared to what I want to say. We don't do those works to become a Christian. But because God has loved us, opened himself to us, paid the ransom for us, and given us a down payment of our salvation, because we are Christians, we will love. We will do good works because we are Christian, not to become a Christian. He says, God prepared each and every one of us to have a work. He says, so what's walk in him? And how do we do that? We walk in Christ Jesus and him alone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to rob a statement from one of my dear friends. We are of all people most blessed. Rejoice in that today. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we thank you, Father, for Paul's writing here, even to the church of Ephesus. We pray that you would work in our hearts, that you would work in our lives, that we could look above and beyond our circumstances and see Christ Jesus and him alone. Father, we know faith is not something we can produce, but it is something we can ask for. Father, give us faith. Give us peace. And give us an extra dose of your Holy Spirit that we can live in this world and be a light. Now, O Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.